Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. As the year ends, we're stepping back from what we usually do on the show, covering the day-to-day news of the state. Instead, we're tackling some more unusual and bigger topics. And what could be bigger than space? What kind of year was 2021 for space exploration and our understanding of the cosmos? Well, one great person to check in about these things is KQED science reporter Danielle Venton, who never misses an opportunity to talk about wonders beyond our world. Danielle, thanks for joining us.
Happy to, Saul.
Well, let's start by talking about one of the most high-profile space trends over the past year, and that's space tourism.
That's right. Yeah. 2021 was an enormous year for the private spaceflight industry or space tourism. There was a trio of billionaire men who were all working to get their rockets in space. You know, in July, we saw Richard Branson aboard a Virgin Galactic ship go to space or go to the edge, almost to the edge of space. And we saw Amazon's Jeff Bezos aboard Blue Origin. And then that was followed up in September. Elon Musk's SpaceX launched with space tourists. Elon Musk did not go to space himself. But, you know, these are largely vanity projects, right? You know, and unlike government space agencies, they're not seeking to answer big scientific questions. A lot of people had a lot of criticism for these pursuits because they just seem to typify that we're living in an age defined by inequality.
So if private space travel took a great leap forward in 2021, what was our national space agency, NASA, up to this past year?
Well, they were super busy. To run through a couple of the highlights, in February, the rover Perseverance landed on Mars. Mission control was at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena. And the rover is in an area of Mars that was, it's assumed, was once habitable. So it's looking for any signs of past life. Also on Mars, we had the first powered flight with a solar-powered helicopter named Ingenuity. That was also mission controlled from JPL. And it was extremely cool.
So we've been talking about things that involve activities within our solar system. What about activities or research that goes beyond the boundaries of our solar system? What's some big news there?
The whole field of astronomy is so excited for the launch of the James Webb Space Telescope. This is the biggest, most powerful space telescope ever developed. Really big deal. And the telescope will be searching for alien Earths, planets similar to ours that could possibly hold life, which connects to my personal favorite anniversary of the year. Saul, you'll be interested to know that this fall, the Drake Equation celebrates its 60th birthday. This is an equation devised by astronomer Frank Drake. He lives in the Santa Cruz Mountains. And this equation that he wrote 60 years ago is a way to estimate the number of civilizations in the universe that we may possibly be able to detect someday. And the equation launched an entirely new discipline, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, or SETI. And of course, the SETI Institute is headquartered in the Bay Area in Mountain View.
So the equation relates to what percentage of stars out there or planetary systems might be able to support life that somehow reaches a point where it reaches a point of civilization and the ability to contact other worlds, right?
Yeah, basically, it's a framework for thinking about how many detectable civilizations out there. The equation has a number of variables that become increasingly restrictive. You know, for example, it starts at the rate at which stars are born, and then the next variable is the fraction of those stars that host planets, and then it goes on to the number of those planets on which life could possibly exist, and it becomes more and more restrictive. And so astronomers are learning more about each of these different variables. And it's a way to make basically the search for alien intelligence a scientific discipline. Prior to how Frank Drake thought about it, it had been kind of the purview of, you know, people who believe that they could see little green men on Mars. And today it's a rigorous scientific discipline. Hmm.
And just a final question, you know, really one big change in our understanding of the cosmos, and this relates to the Drake equation and whether or not there's extraterrestrial life out there that's intelligent, is the fact that we have found like a bunch, thousands of these exoplanets, right? The planets beyond our solar system. And I'm wondering if you think, or if you know, that's if that's changed the nature of this conversation in any way, where we used to just think of the only planets we knew were in our own solar system. Now we know that our galaxy is teeming with planets. But I'm wondering if that's changed the tenor of the conversation or made things more real in a way that it wasn't just 15, 20 years ago.
Yes, yeah. The discovery of there being so many, just an incredible amount of exoplanets, planets beyond our solar system, first with the Kepler mission, and now with the TESS satellite, the search for those planets will be taken over by the James Webb Space Telescope that we talked about. It makes it much more plausible that some of those planets are inhabitable zones around their stars, and that some of the planets that life has possibly evolved on could reach intelligence, and some of those intelligent life forms could possibly reach civilizations. Mm.
All right, that is KQED science reporter Danielle Venton talking to us about this year in space, the year that was in space. Danielle, thank you so much for joining us on the California Report.
My pleasure, Saul.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, helping people take control of their finances with financial tools and objective advice from a fiduciary advisor. PersonalCapital.com. Stanford Medicine, protecting your health and providing dependable care with safe in-person appointments and video visits. StanfordHealthcare.org/adaptingcare. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy includes Schmidt Futures, focused on finding exceptional people and helping them do more for others together. On the web at SchmidtFutures.com.
And that's the California Report for Friday, December 31st. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Katie McMurrin, Danny Bringer, and Jim Bennett, with help from Seal Muller. Our producers are Mary Franklin Harvin and Keith Mizuguchi. Our senior editor is Angela Corral. Our director of news is Vinnie Tong. Our executive editor is Ethan Tobin Lindsay, and our chief content officer is Holly Kernan. I'm your host, Saul Gonzalez. Thanks so much for listening to us this year, and we'll see you very soon in 2022. Happy New Year, everyone.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.